Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, he's sad.
Dude, you nailed that one.
Corey Majors. And the return of the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, let's get right to it. It is the end of the Bruce Bochy era here in Texas. I don't know if 3 years counts as an era, but he won a World Series, so I say it does.
What else would you consider an era?
I don't know. Some
a period of time, isn't it?
Some sticklers would say it needs to be longer, but I think they
name
can.
Name a stickler.
I can. I'm not going to say it because I almost made a joke, but that felt inappropriate.
All right.
So.
Politics.
Not. Yeah.
I don't know if that was.
No, it was.
Okay.
All right. So. It's the end of the Bruce Bochy era as the manager. I know there is some thought and hope he was offered the front office job. I know a lot of people believe that he will now make a beeline towards San Francisco because he wants to continue to manage. But we can get to all of those things. I just wanted to say thank you to Bruce Bochy. And like you, Corey, I am sad that he is gone.
I have said thank you to Bruce Bochy. Personally,
yeah.
Whether or not he cares, that's a different story.
I'm sure he does.
He gave our team its first ever World Series. He was the kindest man. Every piece-a-thon every piece-a-thon that we asked him to do, he actually did take the time out of his holiday time to have a conversation with us. And I appreciate that too. That's one, a very small thing, but it was very nice and kind to us. There was a level of respect that he earned in before the season began in 2023 that I've never seen a manager get ever.
Dude.
Especially around here.
So if we could talk about that for just 1 second. In spring training, every single person like essentially declined to get into what the specific content of it was, but they all said it took about 10 to 15 minutes in. Every player we talked to there was like, I'm ready to run through this wall right here, right now for Bruce Bochy. And I remember very vividly, he was astonished at how off base he thought people's critiques of the team were. Because I don't think expectations were very high that year. And he was like, I mean, good for them. I have my own set of expectations. That's almost an exact quote.
Dude, that's a confidence that only a guy like him can. Like, he's got the skins on the wall and everything. I can walk into a room and say, y'all are all wrong, and convince this group of guys that they want to believe. Like, they wanted to believe that they were better than they were. And guess what? Proof is, they actually were better than they were.
And
they played over their head.
Yeah, this is one of the things is that's why you play the games, because I also remember vividly in spring training of 2023 being like, I love the confidence. I love the belief. I guess maybe I don't see it. And then they started out insanely 40-20. And so it took those 60 games and you're like, okay, well, never mind. Because Boch was right about everything. This team was right about everything. And I know it was kind of in cruise control the rest of the way there. But then the magical playoff run. And I hope. Most all Rangers fans will always and forever have a positive, super positive viewpoint of Bochy. Because if you don't, I think you're doing it wrong.
I know,
you said don't tell people how to fan.
Yeah, no.
But if you
I
don't,
agree with you.
I think you're wrong.
Well, that's not fan. That's humaning at this point.
Okay.
You know, if you ever see him, offer him a drink. You know,
yes.
Like that's you. Boch, really appreciate you. Thank you. Can I buy you a Weller? And he'll probably say, well, you know what? And that's another thing I'm going to miss because I've worked so hard to kind of get that impersonation down. Kevin, I distinctly remember in 2023 predicting that they would win the World Series and saying that I'd never wave the flag on this team. And so that's kind of where we stand. So wherever we go from here,
okay,
go get Rangers is how I feel about it. And that's on a, each week when he hopped on with us, Kevin, I felt like we were going to get a cool story.
Right.
At least one.
Right.
He was going to be honest with us about the way the team was playing. He didn't BS us about this team at all. I didn't feel like. I felt like if we asked a question, he'd tell us that's a fair question. And I don't feel like we ever really asked unfair questions to him.
Sure.
Sometimes he would be like, I'm not going to tell you that.
Right.
Occasionally. Like very, right, very, very rarely. Right. But most of the time he was like, hey, let me answer this question with a real thing about what this guy's going through. He gave me a lot better understanding of the psyche of this sport and how much confidence is important to it. Like, I understand talent being a big deal, but just like anything else, Kevin, if I come on air and I'm lacking confidence, you can hear that.
Sure.
If I hop on air and I'm full of it, man, you definitely can hear that too. So I think that goes with all of us in every one of our own professions. And sports especially, for sure. You can see it with the Cowboys offense right now. They look confident.
Yes.
Cowboys defense doesn't.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I was not prepared for that in the opening segment. Now, somebody asked this question. I'm trying to see who texted it in from the 214. Do you guys think the Rangers told them the direction they are going and Bochy said, no, thank you, I'm out? That is
kinda
almost exactly what I think happened. I think it was a discussion more of, hey, Boch, we respect everything that you've done for us. We want to make sure you're in the loop at what we believe this team will look like going forward, so you have all the information and can make your decision accordingly.
Well, and so it was... do you believe it's mutual?
I think it was mutual because I think Chris Young knew going into that meeting when presenting what the future probably looks like that Bochy was going to be like, I appreciate it. No, thank you.
Yeah. And so if you were in that room, the presentation was, we're about to take a lot of your talent away.
I believe so. And that is my opinion.
Because, and without saying it, you couldn't fix the talent this year. Or last year either. And I know the injuries were a big part of it, and we can't just blame the injuries because we got to get the most out of it. But we're not going to have the same level of talent. We're going to start developing. Do you want to be around for that? And Bochy was probably like, look, man, I've been around this thing for a long time. It could take a long time for that.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if he'll manage in San Francisco. Maybe he has a different role in San Francisco that he's more, hey, look, I get to work with Buster Posey. He knows me. I know him. I can do some other stuff there, too.
And they love each other.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And he loves the area. He spent most of his career on that West Coast. He grew up on the East Coast, lived there for a long time, had his time here. So I agree with you, Kevin. I think he was given an idea of what they're going to do. I think we've pretty well laid out what their plan. We can go position by position and lay that plan out for sure over the next few days. But I think whenever we see the same plan and he saw it and he was like, that's not my cup of tea. Maybe I have some better options elsewhere.
Yeah, from the 214, this is a little complicated. Bochy and Ray Davis didn't see eye to eye. The reason why I think that's complicated is I think Ray Davis was at the absolute forefront of people who wanted Bruce Bochy back.
He's a huge fan of Chris Young. He's a huge fan of Bruce Bochy. I remember talking to him at spring training, and he like lit up talking about Chris Young and Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, but I think the part of not seeing eye to eye is what are going to be the next steps for this team. And I know Chris Young last night was very emphatic that they have not used the word rebuild. It's not a rebuild, et cetera, et cetera. But like, clearly, by taking that theoretical step back, Bochy didn't like that.
You don't think anybody's leaving on real bad terms here, right?
No. No.
Zero ill will.
Actually, let me try that again.
Look, I got one guy's walking away going, I won you a World Series.
Right.
I did my part.
Right.
And I couldn't get it done the last year. I think he's upset about that for himself.
Yeah.
He's the manager. It's his job to get the team to rally and lead them. So I don't think he's upset there, but I don't think he's upset with Chris Young because he understands the business.
Okay, I'm
going to... And I don't think CY is looking at Bochy going, I never liked you.
No. I want to make that clear. I don't think that whatsoever. The only thing I wonder about, and I am speculating on this 100%, the only way I could see ill will is if there was a tiny part of Boch that was like, you knew when you offered me this scenario that I was going to not have an interest in being part of it. But I don't know how far that goes.
And you know what, Kevin? You're right, because there could be a part of him that's like, I kind of needed that out anyway because I wanted to pursue something else.
Sure,
like this,
sure.
I loved my time, my 3 years here in Texas. When he signed a 3-year deal,
yes.
I bet he was like, hey, man, this could be my last 3 years doing this thing.
Yes.
And then he won a World Series and everybody was like, give that man another job.
And I know we have to pretend like we don't know who the next manager is going to be. I just want to say for the record.
Brett Boone.
I will be shocked.
Bobby Wilson.
If it is, I mean, I would be shocked by that. If it's not Skip Schumacher, I would be shocked by that. And I think
Cobbler.
That is, let me know if that nickname catches on. I think that fits the vision probably a lot more in terms of longer term rebuilding. And again, I know Chris Young was adamant that because he's like, because
explain Schumacher to the people that some people don't know who he is.
Sure, sure. Well, okay. Well, so, and he was brought in specifically, it felt like as manager in training. And that's why they let the dude from the White Sox move on down the road.
Because
he was originally thought to be the manager in training. But Skip Schumacher's like, I don't know, 25 years younger. So just from a matter of, you know, age right there, you would think, hey, if I tell you this is going to be part of an overarching reset talent, reset budget, 5-year plan, I don't know that to be the case. I'm just using that as an example. That Schumacher would be in a significantly better position to take that on, interest-wise, than Boch.
His first year with Miami, 84-78. In his second year, 62-100. However, it did sound like that was a front office faux pas that kind of killed that for sure.
Yes, and it was much like the Pirates.
And he had caught like this fire of everybody out there wants this guy as their manager.
Yes.
Because of the personality, the way he demands, the accountability he holds to the players. There's a lot of reasons. Somebody said Mike Maddox. I would say there's no way that the Rangers front office would let him leave anywhere.
I hope he stays.
He is the best pitching coach that you can find. I love that.
I agree.
He is awesome. And he's cool as hell, too.
Yes.
I love that dude, too.
Yeah. No,
I agree with you on Schumacher. It sounds like that. Now, do they have to do a search? Do they have to do interviews? Do they have to have a conversation?
They will. I'll say this again. I heard what Chris Young said last night. I do not believe that is entirely factually accurate, because the question essentially was asked to Chris Young, you know, about like, oh, Skip and the manager. And he was like, to be honest, we haven't had those conversations. If he means directly, we haven't gone to Skip Schumacher in the last 24 hours and said, you're our next manager, then that's probably true. If I am to believe that there have been no conversations either directly with Skip or in the front office at all about Skip's managerial prospects, I don't believe that for 1 second, because that doesn't make any sense for a forward-thinking organization like the Texas Rangers. Like, that just literally makes no sound business sense whatsoever. And then somebody compared it to the Jimmy thing. And I understand that. I will say this for, like, when Jimmy was whatever. You saw clearly that your team could still win Super Bowls, all right? I do not think, as presently constructed, the Rangers can say clearly, we can go win the World Series. Not to say that it couldn't happen, because 2023 was very surprising. But this is not a plug-and-play team.
Do you even have the foundation? Your foundation right now, I would suspect, starting pitching-wise, you're good.
Yeah,
I think you have a good rotation.
That I agree with,
but
sure.
I don't know if you have a foundation for a potential future winner.
Can I answer it like this? And I don't want this to sound like a cop-out. I do think you have a foundation on September 30th, 2025. I do not think that when you start the season, your foundation will look anything similar.
From the 972, Bochy will always be an Astro, never a Ranger. He played 3 years for the Astros, and I wasn't even born yet. So for me, I will say he will always be a Padre or Giant. Oh. And then he got us a World Series.
To me, I love him. He will always be the man who...
I wasn't even born when that dude was...
Yeah. He will always be a man, be the man who brought the World Series here. I will have positive thoughts about him.
I love Ron Washington and Johnny. Like, I love those two managers so much.
They're
at the highest high for me. Bruce Bochy is a notch above them, not just simply because of the World Series. That's one. I mean, that's a marquee piece to it. But everything else that he didn't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That 1 year.
And for the 214, I hope this will make this person feel better. Are we about to enter the dark ages of Rangers baseball? 2.4 million in attendance as average. One of the things when they built the new stadium, though, is you were naturally never going to be able to reach the same heights of attendance that you did before, because your capacity in this new ballpark is like 9,000 and change smaller than the old ballpark. Local media rights dried up. Not so fast, my friends. What I have heard is the first year of the Rangers Sports Network economically has gone significantly better than the Rangers had maybe projected out. Now, I know Manfred said, hey, they're going to own all the TV rights by 2028. Good luck with that. I want to see what that looks like. But I think that is a potential positive for the Rangers going forward. So I'm not prepared to say the dark ages of Rangers baseball whatsoever, but I do think there could be some trying times ahead for people and their favorite players. Like, if you have a jersey of somebody who seems like they're a staple of this team.
I've always said this. I was here as the first Corey, all right? And I always said that I would outlast any other Corey in this city.
Oh.
So if Corey Feldman ever comes through this town, you're going to be here one night, bro.
I got what you're saying. We've got tonight. Who needs tomorrow? I get what you're saying.
You know Corey.
Yes, I do.
Oh, it's good to hear his voice again. It's good to laugh again.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't worry. We got plenty more Rangers content. We got Matt Hicks coming up at noon. We got Bob Nightingale coming up at 1:20. Baseball Nuggets at 10:40. But
the ticket prices need to go up. Or
Think that would be a good solution right now. If you're going to cut payroll and you're losing the manager that got you the World Series.
Langford to lead us. So.
Hey, that would be a bold decision to raid ticket prices now. Coming up next, do the Cowboys have reinforcements on the way? Plus, we power rank the NFL power rankings. Next, right here on The Fan.
Hand signals. Pickens turns around, says something to the receiver to his left. Snap back. Standing with time. Thrown in the end zone. Caught by Pickens to the post. The Cowboys are going to take a lead to the dressing room. How do you do?
How do you do indeed? Then it was a tie. Now, do the Cowboys have some reinforcements coming? We will power rank the NFL power rankings. And a very important question on Underdog from the 940. Fellas, I joined Underdog on Friday. Hopefully you use promo code Masterpiece. And I've already withdrawn $327 in winnings after depositing only $50. I have a streak wager going 8 in a row. So do I let it ride with Scooble getting higher than 7.5 strikeouts? Or do I take the $780 payout on a $5 wager.
I don't think Kevin is allowed to provide advice on this.
That's a good point. The only advice I can give you is promo code Masterpiece. You get $100 in bonus funds when you make your first $5 play.
That's a good one right there.
All right. Now, for the Cowboys. So, I will not give my advice. I like money.
See, I'm taking care of you.
All right. Do you feel any better that potential reinforcements could be coming for the Cowboys? Yesterday, Shoddy said that they weren't going to put CeeDee Lamb or Tyler Booker on injured reserve because both players are trending in a good direction. Now, I realize it doesn't always work out exactly how we think or the coaching staff thinks it will, but let's just use some common math right here.
All right.
Injured list means you're going to be out for 4 games. The Cowboys are not putting those players on the injured list. So that means they think they're going to miss 3 or fewer games. Both of them have already missed a game. And so in theory, that means that the Cowboys believe that CeeDee Lamb and Tyler Booker won't miss more than the next 2 games.
Okay.
That feels...
High ankle sprain.
Yes, yes.
Maybe Booker is a faster healer. We don't know.
Could be.
This is his first year with us. CeeDee Lamb is going to play through as much pain as he possibly can to be out on the field. Are they allowed to be at the facility if they're on the injured list, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, I don't think they're allowed to be in team meetings, though.
Interesting.
I believe...
You got to have them in the meetings.
Yes, I remember that a couple years ago with Dak. Kalen Carson, he's hopeful of practicing this week. And then because the end of the injured reserve, at least that period. And so then you have the potential for Phil Maffa, Jonathan Mingo, Peyton Turner. Now, I'm not saying they're all going to be good to go, but they will all be eligible to return off of injured reserve.
You think that's what Jerry meant this morning whenever he was saying we got guys coming back?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think he probably was first and foremost thinking about like CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Booker, and maybe Kalen Carson.
He said overshown.
Okay. I look, just personally, and from when we talk with him in training camp, I wouldn't imagine you would see that until late November.
Okay. All right.
But when you take that group, add in Maffa, Mingo, Turner, and Mingo might feel more important than he would have otherwise because of the injury to CeeDee Lamb.
And let's also add in this. He is a good blocker. One of the Cowboys' strengths right now is running the ball.
Yeah.
So like that can be a benefit. I know you want receivers to catch the football.
Right.
But that could be a benefit of having him back while CeeDee Lamb has got a couple games here.
So does that grouping now, Turner, Mingo, Maffa, Carson, or the idea that hopefully at most only 2 more games for Booker and Lamb, does that make you feel like the reinforcements are coming? Or, and I think this is a logical way to look at it as well, in the time it takes them to come back, football is unfortunately a very violent and injury-laden game. Do you think there'll be somebody else? Not just for the Cowboys, but I feel like all teams. Hey, spoiler alert, in the next 2 weeks, a lot of people, unfortunately, are going to get hurt.
Yeah, and look, man, we can try and blame it on preseason or whatever. The nature of the sport is injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
I will always presume something's going to happen. It's just which one is the most catastrophic. It's usually the ones that are paid the most. You're like, oh my gosh, all the money we spent on that guy, even though maybe he only really accounts for 10% of whatever. But I feel comfortable with the receiving group based on what I just saw.
Okay.
Pickens can be a one, I think.
Yeah.
If you use him, you got to use him in the first half before the end of the second quarter. Tolbert, actually, after everything we've been begging him to do, he showed up a little in this game.
Yeah.
Turpin provided some offense too. I think also Dak's playing at a high level. Dak playing at a high level, getting the ball out quickly is so important. Him playing at a high level makes me have a lot of confidence, and whoever's there to catch the ball, we're good. Booker was, I felt very strongly about what he was doing. I felt very good after seeing what Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass did.
I agree.
Kevin, Nate Thomas is one of your best tackles.
Whoa.
I think he should start honestly, right now, and we'll have to have a discussion about that. I think he needs to be starting. So offensively, with those returning, that makes me excited. Kalen Carson, great. I don't know. He's going to fix the defense. That's the biggest weakness is probably at linebacker's position right now.
Yeah.
I know people are like, secondary. No, I get that. The linebackers are a big factor when it comes to what's happening with this defense, too.
You'd argue at this point, no singular player would fix this defense, right? Like, no.
For Siobhan Revelle. Like, yeah. From what I'm understanding, Kevin.
Oh, man. The best thing that could have happened for him in terms of hype was to be on the IR. That has taken his hype
that
to
was a
an
joke.
Unbelievable level.
I think he'll be a ramped up into a good piece for the team, but there's no way that he's just going to save everything. But he could very well, Kevin, add some stability to a position that's really volatile right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and I think that's the idea, is it wouldn't just be that one person. You would be like, hey, if you told me this week, and I'm not saying this is the case, but Revelle was ready to come back, Carson was ready, Turner was ready, and like you got all these people at the same time. You're like, well, if nothing else, I feel like that should help our depth, help our defensive line rotations, hopefully give you more options at cornerback. But I agree. There is no singular player whatsoever that is going to fix this Cowboys defense. Hopefully you continue to make incremental steps to be better. Now, are you ready to power rank the NFL power rankings? Once again, this will be a blind draw. I will give you option A, B, or C.
Well, my name's Corey.
You want so I'll go with C? Alec, are you okay with that?
It's my middle initial, so sure.
I'm glad that you are, because we don't really have a tie-breaking vote. Who is the worst team in all of football?
I'm going to still stick with the Saints. I don't think a loss to the Bills, even though they were scrappy, changes anything for me.
Well, bad news for you, Corey, and good news for the Saints, is they have rocketed up the charts from 32 to 31. They are now only the second worst team in football. Alec, who has taken their shameful spot at the bottom?
The Tennessee Titans. They're awful.
The Tennessee Titans, in the words of Cam Ward, if I'm keeping it a buck, we ass right now. They are last on the list. Tennessee is last, then the Saints, then the other winless team, the New York Jets.
Dude.
They are number 30.
I think I saw a stat a minute ago that Justin Fields is 0-25 when an opponent scores 21 points against his team.
Holy moly.
And
well,
that's not good.
We being the Cowboys, should be able to score 21 points.
The Cowboys' worst part is probably their secondary, even though I just said that our linebackers are problematic right now. But their worst part is probably the stopping the passing game. Justin Fields can't pass the ball. Like, Kevin, I've tried, man. I was like, okay, I'm going to give this dude every chance.
Because he looked good in the opener.
I'm going to give him every possible chance. Last night was bad. And so, I don't know. What balances out? What gives here? Justin Fields continues to be a bad throwing quarterback, or the Cowboys' defense makes him look like Tom Brady?
I'm worried it's going to be the second one, just because I keep having thoughts about Russell Wilson, who a week removed from that Cowboys game was so bad he got benched. But just a week before, he...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
looked
yeah.
like the greatest quarterback version of himself he had ever been. So I am worried about that. All right, speaking of the Cowboys, where would you have the Cowboys in the power rankings? Now, this is key why you picked where you picked, because there are some huge discrepancies on the Cowboys.
I think I had them like 25, 26 last, 25-ish.
Okay.
I'll say after a tie, they bump up 23.
Okay.
I'm going to be optimistic and say 22.
Oh, now, Alec, you probably should have picked A.
Actually, if it was optimistic, you should have gone number one.
Okay.
What are we doing here, Alec?
That's just
how much optimism is that?
Well, that's too much.
Valid.
So NFL.com has them at 22, but that's not what you picked. You picked ESPN, who has them at 23, which is what Corey picked. But if you really wanted to be optimistic, you would have picked The Athletic, where the Cowboys are number 18.
Ooh, whoa.
That is a pretty big difference right there.
That's the pull of Mashota right there.
That's, I like that. They're going to be like 20 and 21. And he's like, the hell they are. All right.
I bet my Seminoles on it.
Who is the best team in all of football per you? Not per the power rankings.
I have three teams.
Okay.
But only one can be the winner.
That's true.
I think Detroit right now is going to be an unstoppable juggernaut for the rest of the season. However, the Eagles still exist.
I can confirm that.
And
as of this morning,
they just aren't losing. The Bills aren't losing either, but history kind of puts them number two to that. I think it's still the Eagles, dude. I'll say this about the Eagles defense. That game against Baker and Tampa Bay, that first half, that Eagles defense showed up, and they were playing very good football. Mike Evans not being there obviously was a problem for them, but I think it's still Philadelphia.
Well, Alec, I can't imagine you're too surprised that Corey said the best team in football is the Eagles.
Yeah. They're 4-0 and they just won the Super Bowl. What are y'all trying to do here?
And no more defense of your Eagles needed. Alec, who do you think is the number one team in all of football?
To me, it is the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Because I think they're doing more with less than Philadelphia, and I think Philadelphia is still, at least through four quarters each game, all four quarters the entire game, underperforming for what they should be.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, you guys, that's why I wanted to get y'all's opinion. All three of the power rankings go like this. Philly 1, Buffalo 2, Detroit 3. That's why I wanted y'all's opinions as opposed to the power rankings.
So I was right?
Yes, your Philadelphia Eagles.
No, I was right. The team that I said, right, you have to just give it in.
This instance.
It's by default.
But I asked for your number one team, not what the pundits say.
Detroit.
It's too late. Yep. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. The MLB playoffs start today. Are you in? Are you out? Do you have a bold prediction? And who's going to win it all? Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for some Baseball Nuggets. So I want to know from you guys, are you excited about the baseball playoffs? They start today, or are you kind of in the realm, and I totally understand why, Rangers missed, and now we're without our manager, so who cares?
When do they start?
Today.
Who's playing?
I mean,
are the Rangers playing this
no,
time?
No, it's the Tigers against the Guardians, Red Sox against the Yankees, Reds against the Dodgers, and Padres against the Cubs. Games start at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Actually, noon, I do believe.
So, Kevin, there was a time as a child before I knew better where I was like, well, I guess I'll just root for another team in Texas. And then I grew up.
Right.
1 year and learned. Then there was also that time of like, I guess we'll just root for whoever's in the AL because that's the division or the league that my team's in. And then I also grew up because that's not how life works. So it's time to pick a team through these playoffs and say, all right, I'm going to root and follow. I think I'm going to root and follow two teams, one from the AL, one from the NL, and then hopefully those two teams land in the World Series together. I'm going to roll out the Dodgers as my National League team because okay. I always liked Orel Hershiser was kind of where I caught on with that as my National League team. I want to go with Cleveland.
Yes, that is absolutely the team I'm rooting for in the American League.
Who's on that team?
Well, I mean,
Ramirez and like a bunch of dudes, right?
Whoa, take that, Cleveland.
I really think it's like, all right, this is a bunch of guys that can be fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's an exciting bunch to pull for.
And you're right. Jose Ramirez is obviously very, very good. I would throw out Stephen Kwan as well. Cool. Has had.
I need to know these teams, these names. Before I start rooting for him, Kevin
Williams, but I'll stop just listing people. But no, I'm with you about that. All right. And by the way, if you need to kind of be reminded and caught up, best of three in this wild card round. So just set your expectations appropriately. All right. Couple of other things to go through on this front. Some of the league leaders. Let's go to batting average. Aaron Judge won his first AL batting championship with a .331. Now, I know batting average has not gotten as much play.
I still think it's important.
In modern baseball, well, then consider this for your MVP pick.
No.
Aaron Judge had a batting average that was 84 points higher than Cal Raleigh.
Cool story, bro.
You just said when you stand out cared.
When you stand out in the outfield and just kind of stare there while the catcher's doing all the work, of course it's going to be easier to swing a bat.
Hey, don't forget, sometimes he also was just a DH. All right, so that apparently has no impact on Corey. Now, this is going to make you sad. Trey Turner won the NL batting title with a record low average of .304. The previous low average for the batting champion in the NL was .313. And that was, of course, Tony Gwynn, who won seemingly every batting title ever.
Yo, Luis Arraez won the National League last year with a .314.
And now it's down to .304.
Now, Bobby Witt Jr. had a .332 last year. Arraez had a .354 the year before. Like, these, the high threes, that 330 area is a good range, like a really exceptional range for batting titles is usually where it is. 340s are the higher ones, 360, DJ LeMahieu 1 year, but 330 is kind of in that range of this is expected for a batting title.
Except for now, not anymore, 304 for Trey Turner, and consider this, he was the only player in the National League with a batting average of .300. That's it. Him.
No, that's not true.
And nobody else.
That's not true.
The previous low was .300 in 2022. You should. And so he was the only qualified batter in the NL with a .300 batting average. And his winning batting average for the title of .304 is 9 points lower than at any point in National League history. So is it that they're taking focus off the batting average, or are they doing that because they're like, hey, we stink at this? I know it's actually the first one, but
yeah, they do stink. Hitting is not the thing. But how OPS has become the number that people kind of have turned to.
Agreed.
So,
and even that number has changed.
And I got a lot of questions regarding that. If we have time here, Kevin, do we even care about bat? Do we change batting title to OPS then, and say average is part of OPS, and we're just going with batting? That's your batting title because that encompasses all of hitting.
You know what? That's an interesting question because I bet.
Or then we're like, oh, we got to retroact all these other batting titles.
No, I think a lot of people would go kicking and screaming, and they're like, you've changed enough of the game that I love. I can't, you know, like I've had all I can, and I can't stand no more. But like, let's use Trey Turner as a great example. He's first in the National League in batting average, in OPS for all of Major League Baseball. He's 40th. And so like, that is a shocking divide right there. So I don't know if it will come to that, but that is an interesting question. Now, for Aaron Judge, we said he won the batting title. Obviously, he has the highest OPS because his OPS was ridiculous. how important is this postseason? And I kind of want to talk about this with Nightingale later in the show as well. How important is this postseason for Aaron Judge's legacy? Maybe he wins his third MVP, maybe he doesn't. He's had an incredible run, but he's starting to get that. It was a vibe on Kershaw for a while, that playoff failure vibe, because if you look at it, in his career postseason, he's hitting 205. And the last three postseasons, he's hitting 169. And this is somebody that I just told you won the batting title. So even though we're moving more towards OPS and everything, he's still had a heck of a year. Those are pretty diabolically terrible numbers. And it was weird that oft-injured Giancarlo Stanton, and then when they still had him, Juan Soto, became the go-to guys for the Yankees in the playoffs and not the maybe best player on the planet.
Yeah.
Or at least second best.
Kevin, I was just looking. I was curious about some numbers real quick. Am I throw that at you? 5,650 home runs hit by the baseball this year.
Okay.
The first year of baseball, only 40 home runs were hit.
All right.
And it wasn't until 1901 that the American League actually hit a home run.
What does this have to do with anything?
There was a lot of home runs hit, but that's not the most ever hit.
Mm-hmm.
2019 was 6,700. That's 1,000 more home runs than this year. What was the difference in 19 that this year is pitching better? Are we worried more about doubles? What's happening here?
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
It's baseball. We're talking about baseball.
Alec, do you think there's a lot on the line for Aaron Judge in this postseason?
There's a whole lot of numbers running through my head. I do think it is. I think because the media market and the attention that he gets, it's just like Cowboys football, but in baseball terminology, where everything he does is going to matter in the postseason. It's not going to matter right now. It's not going to matter in the past. It's all going to matter right here, right now. What have you done for me lately? And he hasn't done a lot in the postseason. As you mentioned, 169 through the past three postseasons is not good for a player that good.
Do you believe Trout is still the best?
No.
Over his career, do you look at it and go, he's top five player all time?
Probably not that high, but top 20?
Because probably. Of no postseason success, or?
To a certain extent.
It's a real interesting, because yeah. You're asking about Judge.
Yeah, yeah.
And he actually has the opportunities to be
he
there.
Does. He does. And that,
fails miserably.
That part is kind of tough, right? And I think that dings Mike Trout a little bit, but for whatever reason, and this is why I asked the question, I can't figure out legacy in baseball compared to the other sports, because it doesn't seem to matter anywhere near as much.
I think baseball's more personal.
What you do in the postseason.
I really do. I think okay. I know in like the grand scheme of the voters, it's different, but I think for us, the general public, it's a more personal, like, that's my player or that's my team that I was able to follow. In your belief. That's why the arguments are more passionate, I think, a lot of times when it comes to those legacies. You think if Aaron Judge was around in that first year of baseball that he would have hit more than 40?
No, I don't, because you told me all players combined hit 40. By the way, the Philadelphia Phillies are the favorites to win the World Series. I can't say that's particularly surprising, even though obviously that's not going to happen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do, so let's hear your triumphs and tumbles next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why it's not outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.